This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Roshan. It's 9:18 in the morning, Friday the 4th of December. Before we get into what's been happening over in the Singapore markets, let's take a quick look at markets here at home, how it's doing so far.
The KLCI is at 1623 right now, 0.3% down this morning. A clear 23 points above the 1600 mark. Year to date, it is up 2.15%. And since we're going to be talking about Singapore, this STI, the Singapore Straits Times Index, is at 2831 points. Up 0.3%. Year to date, though, it's down 12%.
So last month, the Singapore Stock Exchange saw its strongest performance since May of 2009, as shares rallied on the back of signs that there could be a light at the end of the tunnel for the global economy. Now, this has given positive developments on the vaccine front. So to talk to us more on this this morning, joining us on the line is Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange. Jeff, thank you for speaking with us today. Now, Singapore has seen a rally of 15% for the month of November, fueled by vaccine optimism. But do you think this rally is sustainable?
Good morning, Lynn. Well, a big part of that, rally was the fact that it was really driven by rotation from these defensive or digital industries, if you will, with momentum this year into these big cyclical mega sectors that are more aligned with the broader economy. And it, in many ways, the rally could have started in early October, because the World Health Organization did basically put out the timeline for what we've seen in terms of the vaccine developments back in the first week of October. So these announcements were hinted at in the first place, but the market did not move per se until the news was confirmed somewhat in November. But nonetheless, looking forward, it's the ongoing spread of the virus, the social and the economic impacts are still the key drivers. And I think even now more, it's going to be a little bit more complicated, because the potential pace of a move to the new normal is going to be a key market driver going into 2021 as well. But look, from a corporate perspective, the results and the business updates we've seen recently in Singapore, it has echoed a lot of the economic sub-trends that we've seen over the recent months. The financial results have been mixed somewhat, and that's like our economic results, uneven or K-shaped, if you will. Albeit there are signs of this sequential recovery, but what really matters for the broad strength, I guess, it will hinge very much on the travel-related, the consumer-facing domestic services, and, of course, construction. But I do have to point out just one more fact, that at the same time, global policy support has really mattered in a lot of these market moves. And this large-scale rotation we saw last month, it has coincided with these big economic policies. We've got the US money supply growth up 60% year-on-year in November, compared to only being up 5% year-on-year at the end of 2019. So the Fed Reserve balance sheet has grown strongly over this time, and that's helped fuel a lot of the rotation. And that's why we've got US dollar at, you know, as we say, as we look at 2018 lows and talk of more global fiscal stimulus to address these GDP growth shortfalls.
Jeff, speaking about that rotation we touched on earlier, notable fund flows were went into an index heavyweight sector in Singapore, the financial services, which rose 19%. Has the easy money been made here?
Yeah, Roshan, that's where a lot of the money was attracted per se, financials and then industrials. And we saw this globally. So globally, financials and industrial sectors, these mega sectors, were the big recipients of the rotation. And that plays to not just Singapore's strengths, but in many ways, ASEAN's strengths as well, because these stocks make up a big part of our regional indices. It also meant that the STI doubled the monthly gain of the comparatively tech or healthcare heavy S&P 500. But DBS, OCBC, UOB, these three banks per se, they make up approximately 40% of the STI, and we saw net institutional inflows of $1.5 billion. Now, it's been a tough year. Globally, banks have had to, contend with these reduced interest rate margins, less demand for financing, all this preemptive provisioning and so forth to balance their balance sheets. And we're seeing a lot more attention to loan quality. Hence, most of these banks have been laggards for most of the year. So when you look at this big move in the context of where we've been, investors do typically look at valuations. And the rally in the bank stocks that we saw globally and in Singapore, it's seen the price of the banks here in Singapore edge higher to book value, up from a 15% discount to book value at the end of October. And similarly, when you look across the world, the median PB of the, I guess, the top quartile of global banks by market value, that's also increased by 15%, the price to book ratio, from a 15% discount to near book value. And I guess for longer context, the price to book ratios, so in Singapore here at 1.0, and that's still a ways off their high of 1.4 times in recent years. And the ability for banks to produce income is going to be a key distinguishing driver into 2021. The trio that we've had here, they've increased their, I guess, over the long term, their quarterly net interest income to above $4 billion in the fourth quarter of 2014. And that went to above $5 billion, their combined quarterly net interest income to above $5 billion in the second quarter of 2018. And they were still able to maintain more than $5 billion combined in net interest income in the third quarter of 2020. And one more driver, return on equity is also a metric that's used in the banking sector in particular. And the three do maintain an ROE. I think it's around 11%. And that is higher than the top quartile of global listed banks, which is around 8%.
And Jeff, another sector, I mean, that Singapore has a dominant position in is REITs. And apart from industrial due to exposure to logistics and the rise of e-commerce, which is booming, I mean, how will the rest of that sector fare in 2021?
Yeah, it's like we saw in banks, REIT moves have been staunchly sector driven across the world. So there's around 800 REITs listed across the world. And what we've seen across the world is very much the story in Singapore. So globally, data center REITs, they were up 20% in the first 10 months of this year. Global industrial REITs were flat. Global hotel REITs, hospitality REITs, they were down as much as 45%. And then the retail REITs down as much as 30%. And I guess those commercial office towers down 20%. Now, the rallies in November saw rotation within these REIT subsectors. So the data centers trimmed their year-to-date gains from 20% to 15%, while the global hotel hospitality REITs, they trimmed their losses significantly from down 45% to down 30% at the end of November. And the global retail shopping center REITs trimmed losses as well significantly from down 30% at the end of October to down 20% at the end of November. We have a pure play data center REIT here that's consistently ranked amongst the top 10 global REITs with market cap of more than $500 million this year. And we've also seen some defensive moves as well. For instance, Asia's largest listed healthcare REIT is listed here in Singapore, and that saw 4% growth in its net property income for the first 9 months of this year. And a very diversified business flows, if you will, nursing rehabilitation facilities in Japan, as well as hospital properties here in Singapore. There's also multiple instances of growth continuing in the sector. Over the past 2 months, we've seen as many as seven of the REITs across the industrial, the logistics, and the commercial sector announcing acquisitions. And these property locations, they span Europe, US, Asia, China, Malaysia, and Singapore. And I guess going into 2021, within this subsector of the REITs, or the sector of the REITs, I should say, look, prudent capital management, the ability to recycle assets, the diversity of property pipelines and portfolios that enable the REIT managers to unlock value for the unit holders, that's going to be the key sector drivers going into 2021.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Jeff. That was Jeff Howie, a market strategist at the Singapore Exchange, giving us a bit of insight into what are some of the drivers of the market there. We're about to head into the 9:30 news bulletin. And after that, coming up is the property show with Sim Wee Boon and architects Dr. Tan Lok Man and Amanda Tay, both of whom run their own architecture firms, and they're going to be talking about trends in design. Stay tuned for that after the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.